Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. I love you so much. You make me so happy. Jesus said that it was good that he was going to ascend to heaven. Because when he ascended to heaven, he would send the Spirit to guide his disciples in the truth. This is John 16:7. Today we observe this historical event of our Lord's ascension with our minds on the fulfillment of his promise of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is nearly upon us. When it arrives, we'll celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit with joy and enthusiasm. Why? Because we have been given the Holy Spirit. He fills us. This is a historical observation of what has happened. We are in the present. We have the Spirit. Ascension is the holy day that connects Easter with Pentecost. It's that point in the story, in the narrative, in the history of what's going on. You have the resurrection, but before the Spirit just comes, there's something else. There's this magnificent event of the Lord ascending back to the Father. And when we read it with the first or the second Kings passage, and we see what's going on with Elijah and Elisha, and then we hear it from Acts, and then we hear it from Luke. Luke gives it to us in both of his books. It is impressed upon us just how magnificent this event was and what it meant, the shift. I mean, I'm putting out our little candle here is nothing compared to what happened. The shift where it goes from Jesus doing all the work with a little bit here and a little bit there from his apostles, his disciples at the time, to now all of the work is being carried out by these human instruments, by the Lord's Spirit. He's still the actor. He's the one doing it, but now he's doing it very directly through them rather than through himself and them being witnesses. Our Lord promised that he would die and be raised to new life. The promise was fulfilled. Our Lord also promised that when he ascended to the Father, he would send his Spirit. And that promise has been fulfilled too. As a church, we use the historic lectionary, the calendar, which is based on the historical events preserved in Holy Scripture to help keep time. It's a timepiece. It focuses our attention on the work of Christ, both in the flesh and through his church. We're about to come into a very long season, all the way through the summer and into the fall, where it's all about how the Spirit has worked through the church, both in the apostles' time, but also as we are gathering to hear this news in our time. So there's a giant dot on either end being connected. And what is the common denominator? It is the Holy Spirit. The same connection that's going on from the Old Testament to the New Testament and now went down to us, the Spirit. This timepiece doesn't mean that Jesus is no longer with us, but that he's with us in a dramatically different way. Jesus says that his church will do greater things than even he did. How can that be? Well, because he's doing it through the church worldwide, not bound by one man's body in a certain location, but unbound. The body of Christ is now made up of human beings, plural. We are part of that body. And so we are participating in the great things that are happening simultaneously across the world. Jesus is present with us still this very day, but not in the same visible way he was during his three-year ministry with his disciples. The disciples turned apostles are the beginning of the shifted ministry of Christ. And we're among the current continuance of his ministry, Christ's ministry, as we carry out Christ's great commission. In us, the Lord is acting. It is actively happening. He is doing the work in us. We've been clothed with the power from on high, as he said, Luke 24:49. The church has now, at this point in time, already received power when the Holy Spirit came upon us, and we are his witnesses in Jerusalem, starting out, and in all Judea, and then Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. That's us, the Lost Coast. We are very truly the ends of the earth. The Lord keeps his promises. The church is no longer waiting in Jerusalem in neutral, just kind of parked, waiting for the new driver to show up to get things going. The church has spread the gospel message across the world. We are evidence of that right here, right now. As we live and breathe, we see how truly good it is that our Lord ascended to the Father. We can't grasp that. How could it possibly be good that we're not with you, Lord? How can that possibly be good? Well, this part of the world would never have known of Jesus. This is his economy. This is his system. This is what he planned, to send the Spirit so that we would spread out and people as far away as us and further would hear the gospel and be saved. And the Spirit continues to be given to his people. With each baptism, the Spirit indwells within us. With each preaching of the word, the Spirit is working, emboldening us with God's power for one reason: to proclaim repentance and forgiveness in Christ's name to all nations. That's the mission. And the Christian is truly in need of repentance who rejects that he's been given the Holy Spirit's power. When we act as if we're not Christ's witnesses in this world, that we haven't been baptized into his crucifixion and into his resurrection and received his Spirit after his ascension, when we act as if our Lord hasn't ascended yet, or that he hasn't sent his Spirit yet, and we're still just kind of chilling out in Jerusalem, well, then we're in denial of the reality of what we've been given. That the Father has sent the Spirit upon the apostles, and the apostles wrote it down, the message, the gospel. They preached it. They sent letters. They spread it. And we have received it. To deny that we have been given the power from on high is to sin. And we are in desperate need of repentance when we do this. And now this sin is as old as the post-flood world. So don't think it's novel to us. The Lord promised never to flood the world again. And then he commanded his people to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. To go out where the deadly waters had been, where it was dangerous. But without fear. Without fear of death, trusting in the peace of God's promise. But the people didn't listen. Instead, they hunkered down. They stayed put. They started to build the Tower of Babel. Jesus commanded his disciples to stay in Jerusalem until you are clothed with the power from on high. And they did that. To be a Christian is to get to participate in that great commission, to be fruitful with the gospel, and to multiply the number of Christians, and to fill the earth with God's people. For us to now keep silent, for us to now not bear witness to repentance and the forgiveness of sins, to not proclaim the peace that God secured for us on Christ's cross, to act as if we haven't been baptized in the floodwaters that drowned our old Adam and gave life to the new man within us. To act as if we don't have the power of the Spirit. It is to sin. Thank goodness for the cross. For the very thing that concretes this, that makes this real, that makes the ascension able to happen, the resurrection, they're all connected. Thank goodness for Christ's crucifixion, that we would be forgiven of doubting how powerful the Holy Spirit is. We have received the power from on high, And when I say we, I mean you, Jessica, Tom, Peggy, Beverly, Bob, Bub. I love your name, dude. It's just so awesome. Wolverine, you know, Bub. No, sorry. James. Kate, are you awake?
Kate.
You have the power, too. Bethany, Stephanie, Cora,
no.
Brent.
Oh, I'll sleep over there.
And Linda. We have all been given the power. We have the Holy Spirit. The church isn't still in Jerusalem, is it? No. It's spread all the way out into Humboldt County so that we could preach the forgiveness of sins, repentance and forgiveness of sins to all those who don't know about Jesus. To fear speaking is to forget the power we've been given. I was doing a home Bible study yesterday, and it talked about, we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, talking about how we will be judges over the earth, but all over the angels as well. We who've been made Christians. We who have the Spirit. We have nothing to fear. To not be a faithful witness of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins is nothing more than to live like those who haven't been baptized with the Holy Spirit in the waters of repentance. It's to live like the disciples before our Lord ascended into heaven and then sent His Spirit. It's to deny history and the reality that you have become more than conquerors in Christ. Has our Lord and Savior not ascended to His Father? And if not, has He not been resurrected? Is He still in the tomb? Should we, of all people, act like that? Let it never be so. Has the Holy Spirit not descended upon each and every one of us, just as He descended upon the apostles? That's what baptism is. It's the seal of the Spirit. It's the giving of the very repentance, the very forgiveness that we preach. You can only take what you've received. You can only take out what you've received. He has given us the thing we are to share with others. Is the church closed-minded and ignorant that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? No, no, no. He says He opened their minds to the Scriptures. Jesus did ascend into heaven. The Holy Spirit descended upon His disciples and continues to do that with each and every baptism. You guys are His apostles now, His sent ones, to spread the great news of forgiveness. That we are not trapped by our sins, that we are not beheld by them and enslaved to them, that we can move on, that we've been liberated, that we've been set free, that we have a new owner, a good owner, Christ Jesus, who says, go, fill the earth. We've received the message of repentance and forgiveness in Christ Jesus alone. And Jesus, through His Spirit, has opened our minds, just as He opened the disciples' minds, so that we would understand Scripture and be able to proclaim it to the nations. And now we don't have to do it to every nation. We just get this little part of the world. We get our neighbors. We get the people closest to us. All of our little circles, making this very elaborate Venn diagram as they all interact with each other. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. You've been forgiven by Christ's death. You've been given life in His resurrection. Jesus has blessed you in the very same way He blessed those disciples watching Him go into heaven. He blessed them as He was taken up from them. And that blessing is for the church. He has ascended to the right hand of the Father. It is true. And so we celebrate this wonderful holy day in repentance of our sin and thanksgiving for the fulfillment of our Lord's promises. All of them, from the cross, the empty tomb, the ascension at Bethany, and the giving of the Spirit in your baptism. In the name of Jesus, amen.